As some would say, that it's not real. Well, that's just what Christians believe. It's what the Bible teaches, and it's a real place that is described in the Bible as a place of outer darkness and a place that I'm sure you don't want to go to, and I don't want to go to, but yeah, there are a lot of people that are going to be in hell when life is over. Again, the Bible affirms that hell is a real place. It's described, when you think about the language that the Bible uses, as a lake of fire, Matthew 18, verse 9, and Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. It's described, as we just heard read in our presence a moment ago, that Mark did a great job in reading, as a place of outer darkness, Matthew 22, 13 and 25, verse 30, or Mark 9. A place of torment, Luke 16:23. Eternal punishment, Matthew 25:46, and again from Mark 9:47 and 48, a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In spite of the fact that God wants all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, a lot of people are going to be in hell for all eternity when this life is over. And that's a very sad reality. That's the truth of the matter. We need to recognize that and live our lives in such a way as to avoid that eternal place of destruction. I want to talk with us tonight about hell's company. The Bible tells us who is going to go to hell. That's strong language. I understand that. But we know that people are going to hell. The Bible affirms that. We can look over and over at passages that talk about the fact that many are going to occupy that place. So I want us to think together for a little while tonight about just who will go to hell. And think about hell's company. Because if we go there, and I hope we don't, I hope we live our lives in such a way that we miss that place, or we go to heaven and make it there for all eternity. But if one goes to hell, then they need to consider their eternal company. The first one I want you to think about is in Matthew chapter 7. All these are simple. I'm striving best I can to keep my sermons as simple as I possibly can. Someone says, "Preacher, why do you want simple sermons all the time?" I'll tell you what happens when you preach a simple sermon. The gospel's simple. When you preach a simple sermon, the youngest to the oldest will have no problem getting a handle on it. And so we're going to keep it simple, at least when I preach, that's what I'm striving to do. In Matthew chapter 7, and then verse 21 beginning, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Sound like religious people? Sound like that they had a religious mentality? Well, sure, they were doing things that were of a religious nature. And you read about these things in the Bible. You read about prophesying. You read about casting out demons. You read about many wonderful works. And yet, the day of judgment, these individuals say, "Lord, haven't we done all of this? Haven't we prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name or by thy authority? Have we not done many wonderful works?" And in that sad statement of verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." It was always interesting to me that it didn't even say, "I once knew you. I used to know you, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we need to understand that hell's company, that those who will be in hell, will include many religious individuals. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, we read about Israel when Paul talks about his desire for Israel. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Well, there's folks today that are religious. They have a zeal of God. They want to do religious things. They want to be religiously minded, but they don't do it according to knowledge. Such was Israel's condition, Paul talks about. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Do you know how you and I and all others can know the righteousness of God? How would you answer that? A passage that you know so familiar, that you know very well, Romans chapter 1. And then verse 17, we often talk about verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now watch verse 17. For therein, Paul writes, that is in the gospel, that's what he was just talking about. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. God's commandments are righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172. And so, when you consider hell's company, I hope that you'll call to mind that many religious individuals will be there. But also, come with me to 2 Thessalonians. It bears repeating now, but we talked about it this morning, but I'm going to repeat it again because it bears on what we're talking about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, sometimes individuals ask, well, preacher, what about individuals who just don't know God? What about individuals who don't have the gospel? They don't obey it. Well, this is a good place for us to open up and consider. As Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then verse 8, in flaming fire, it's when the Lord is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. On who? That know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You know what that ought to impress upon everyone that will read the Scriptures? That you best know God and you best get to obeying the gospel. If not, you know where you're going to be for all eternity? In hell. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22, beginning, James talks about being doers, about doing, not just simply hearing. Oh, it's great to hear, and I love to hear gospel preaching. I love to hear the Bible being taught. But it will do you no good if you hear it and not obey it. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man that beholdeth his face in it, or his natural face in a glass, and beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and watch this, and continueth therein, he being a doer, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so you know who will be occupying hell when this life is over? Those who will not obey the gospel and know not God. But also there's others that the Bible reveals to us will be eternally lost. I think about a passage over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul is discussing the church and the church's relationship to its head, Christ. He talks about the husband and wife to get the point across. And notice what he says, begin with verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. If you want to be saved and go to heaven and after a while, you know where you must be? In the church. Because Jesus is the Savior of the body, so identified as the church in Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. And so when individuals say, well, you don't have to be in the church in order to go to heaven, you better look at this passage again. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, for Wednesday night, that is one of the religious errors that we're going to give an answer to. So we need to be thinking about that. He's the Savior of the church. He's the Savior of the body. And so those who are not in the body are not saved. And those who are not saved, guess what? They'll not go to heaven when life is over. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, some versions say, how much you care about that phrase of that, rendering it that way, but added to the church, King James Version says, such as should be saved on a daily basis. Acts 2 and then verse 47. And so those not in the church will be among His company. But also, I want us to think about the fact that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about those who are unrighteous. And so those who satisfy the lust of the flesh will be eternally lost, except they obey the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Recently did a sermon on unrighteousness, what that entails, what that means. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They'll not go to heaven except they obey the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to talk about that some of those Corinthians have been involved in those things before they obeyed the gospel of Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, in verse 19 beginning, he talks about, in this passage, about the works of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known. They're revealed. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now watch this. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we want to go to heaven and not be among hell's company, then we better not be practicing these things, because they will not go to heaven. But also in Exodus chapter 32, Israel had sinned as they often did. And Moses said, yet now, verse Exodus 32, 32 and 33, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. That's individual responsibility. Each and every one of us will give an account of the things that we have done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and then verse 10. In Revelation chapter 3, as we think about what Moses had stated, if forgive them, forgive their sin, but if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Those not found written in the book of life will be among hell's company. In Revelation 3 and in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 20 and in verse 12, which was where I intended to go. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is, what was it? Or what will it be? Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so among God's, or among hell's company, separated from God, will be those who are not found written in the book of life. But also the Lord talked about in the book of Luke chapter 13, and then verse 1 beginning, we use this passage, and often in the invitation, extending it. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans who were sinners above all the Galileans, because they were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Over and over, the Bible calls upon individuals to repent. You know who will be among hell's company? Those who will not repent. In Acts 17:30, on Mars Hill, Paul stated in Acts 17:30 and 31, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because at the point of the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man of whom he hath before ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. In Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Over and over, the Bible says, repent. If we don't repent, guess where we'll be for all eternity? Hell. The unrepent will be among hell's company. But also, when you come over to Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, I want you to think about it. If you're not a Christian tonight, I want you to think about if you die in that condition, who you can look forward to spending all eternity with. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You want to be with the devil for all eternity? Where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. False teachers will occupy hell for all eternity. You think there's any false teachers today, or with all that stuff? It's just Bible days. Truth is relevant. It really doesn't matter. There's no way that we can know absolute truth. And so, it depends. Who am I to tell you you're wrong and you to tell me that I'm wrong? It's just whatever man believes in his heart. It's just what he has to go with. Don't be deceived. Because when Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, notice what he stated. 2 Peter chapter 2, begin with verse 1. But there are false prophets also among the people. When you read about false prophets in the Old Testament, you read about false prophets in the New Testament. Acts 13 comes to my mind. Now watch this. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Think of that. Then he goes on to talk about God spare not the angels and so forth. And then down in verse 6, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be in a place where where the devil will be, false prophets are at, those who are not in the church, those who satisfied the lust of the flesh, those not found written in the book of life. You know, when you do a lesson like this, the tendency of many individuals say, well, you think you're better than everyone else. No, we don't think we're better than anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Just giving you what the Bible says about it. And what you choose to do with it is what you choose to do with it. What I choose to do with it is what I choose to do with it. But be rest assured that each of us will stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and give an answer as to what we decided to do with it, how we lived our lives. But we need to understand Revelation 21, verse 8. I'm not going to cover all of these. It makes a good study, but for sake of time, we'll not cover all of these. And if you want a copy of the outline, you can let me know and I'll give it to you. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murder. Some of these we've already read about in other passages. Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6. And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That phrase, second death, is in reference to the fact that they will eternally be separated from God. The fearful, King James Version says, New King James Version says, the cowardly. We need more people today in the church who have backbone to stand up for truth, come what may. The unbelieving, you must believe. The Lord said, Mark 16:16, the abominable were polluted in the New King James Version. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these, but just give you some additional thoughts on it. 1 Corinthians 6:9, thoughts from the Bible, not my own thoughts. Murders, 1 John 3:15, talks about murders. Whoremongers, New King James Version, sexually immoral, of which God will judge, the Bible says, Hebrews 13:4. Sorcerers, you read about Simon in Acts 8 and what he did. Idolaters, 1 Corinthians 10:14, and liars, Ephesians 4:25. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. And so the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Hell's company. Think of that. But also in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And again, notice he's not talking about something that is straight, like a straight line. That's S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, a straight line. Here it's straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. That means a place in which is hemmed in or traveled with difficulty. Like about maybe sometimes you hear about the Strait of Gibraltar and other straits and so forth. But it's a passage in the water that has to go through two places of land that's difficult to be navigated, narrow. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now watch this. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know who's going to be among hell's eternal company? Those walking on the broad way. You know how many that is? I don't know a number. But this I can say with certainty, being absolute, it's more than those traveling the straight, the narrow way. It's the majority. So think about that when you think about hell's eternal company. By the way, as you think about this sermon tonight, of which two roads are you traveling? You can't be on both, and there's no middle one. You're either on the broad way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads unto life. You know, the reality is you can get off that broad way. You can do something about it. And get onto the narrow way where you can have life everlasting. You can do that while time continues. One more point. 2 Peter chapter 2. Those who will be among hell's company are backsliders. Those who will turn away from the Lord and never do anything about it. You see, an individual can obey and sin and turn their back on the Lord. Now, a lot of religious people don't believe that. They believe once in grace, always in grace. Once saved, always saved. The perseverance of the saints. The Bible does not teach that. Remember three questions. I think you know these two that will absolutely destroy the false teaching of once saved, always saved. Three questions that are good in asking that deal with that. One is, if that were the case, then why does the Bible warn against falling if it's impossible to fall? Why the warning in the Bible? In Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12, take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Why on earth give that warning if it's impossible to do that very thing? So why the warning? Number two, why the example of individuals who did it? If it is impossible to fall from a right relationship with God after one obeys the gospel, then why the example of individuals who did that very thing? I think about Simon in Acts chapter 8. He obeyed the gospel, but then he sinned and stood in need of repenting and made confession of that unto God. So why, if it is impossible to fall from a right relationship with God, why the examples of individuals who did that? Number three, if it is impossible to fall from a right relationship with God, then why on earth have the instruction on what to do if you do do it? Acts chapter 8, repent and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, if we sin, make confession unto Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and so forth. 1 John 1, verse 9. And so why the warning, why the example, and why the instruction if it's impossible to fall from a right relationship with God? In 2 Peter chapter 2, and then verse 20, beginning. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, you know what that's talking about? An individual who obeys the gospel. If after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they've escaped that, they've turned from it, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Who will be among God's or the hell's eternal company? The backslider. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you've obeyed the gospel, but you turned from it. God's extended to you in His mercy and His long-suffering toward us an opportunity to turn from your unfaithfulness and be restored by repenting of that and making confession unto God in prayer. He'll forgive you and you can start anew. Maybe you're in this audience tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're not a Christian, but you desire to become one. And maybe you're saying, preacher, what do I do to become a Christian? Well, you know what they did in Bible times to become a Christian. You hear the gospel, every account in the book of Acts, individuals who became Christians began when they first heard the truth. So you got to hear it. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You got to believe it. John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and then verse 38. That's simple. That's simple to obey. Simple to understand. But you've got to be willing to do it. You've got to be willing to do what the Bible says. If you want the forgiveness of your sins. And if you say, preacher, I don't have to do that, I'll tell you, no, you don't have to. You don't have to. You can refuse the invitation. You can harden your heart and you can walk back out the door in the same condition that you walked in here in. But God doesn't want that for you. The Lord doesn't want that for you. We don't want that for you. And if you don't want that for yourself so as to not be among His eternal company, then come right now.